If there is nothing so lovely as a tree, in a city there aren't many things that can be as destructive, and summer storms can bring out the killer instinct. It's a painful reality for people who live in cities known for their tree canopies. Washington, D.C. is one. There, NPR's Larry Abramson asks, can city residents coexist with the trees they love?
This is Barnaby Woods, my neighborhood for nearly 20 years. I can still remember the first time my wife and I got out of the car here. We craned our necks and marveled at the huge oaks and maples overhead. They stretch from one side of the street and touch the trees on the other side. At least they used to.
I'm amazed at the fact that you lost these trees over this last few years. I mean, really, it's sort of like just very bad luck.
Local arborist Keith Pitchford remembers how my street used to look. 3 years ago, he helped my neighbors and me save some of those trees from the hands of Pepco. The local power company wanted to cut down a dozen bad actors, trees that kept rubbing up against power lines, causing regular blackouts. We won that battle, but we lost the war.
We're looking at the end of sort of a climax forest age, where the bigger trees are starting to die and fall, and the younger trees are coming up.
In the past few years, storms, old age, and disease have killed many of the giants. One came down this past June and took out power for 3 days. Keith Pitchford says the titans that were planted here 80 years ago have had it.
I think you had mostly northern red oaks or scarlet oaks along here, yeah.
Oh, it hurts to hear him talk about my trees in the past tense. But the signs are undeniable. The shade garden we planted years ago is getting burnt to a crisp as the shade givers bite the dust. Earlier this summer, a particularly macho storm tore through town and took out this gorgeous silver maple in the Georgetown section of D.C. It looks like some arboreal traffic accident. This majestic tree lies splayed across an entire intersection. On the way down, it dealt a fatal blow to two of its brethren. The other trees are still standing, but D.C. arborist John Thomas says they will have to be put down.
Once a tree of this size, a 40-inch tree or a mature tree, gets damaged to this level, it'll be unstable. It'll produce vegetative growth that's not structurally sound. The best thing is to get it out and get it replanted and get the new tree going.
And then I'd just be curious about replanting.
Yeah,
and
we'll
when
automatically
we can get
go back on the list in this fall.
Will it? So you think it'll happen this fall?
Oh, yeah.
Susie Kupka, a neighbor, asked Thomas how long it will take to replace this tree. She is clearly sad at the loss, but other residents also get hopping mad when they lose power for days. They ask, why weren't these trees removed earlier? John Thomas says you have to pick your priorities.
I think it's what do we want to live with as a society? Are we willing to lose power and lose stuff in our refrigerator and sitting with candles? But do we want a canopy out in front of our house and along our sidewalks?
The big trees of Washington are a big problem for Nathan McElroy, a forester for local power supplier Pepco.
The trees are so big, there's no room to move the wires, and they're burning. They're coming in direct contact with these huge trees.
McElroy is out at a work site on the edge of the city. There was no storm here. This is preventive maintenance. McElroy is supervising a contractor who is delicately pruning some scarlet and willow oaks.
We're trying to prevent leaders from establishing themselves through the phases, through the energized conductors.
In arborees, that means McElroy is trying to train the tree to stay away from the power lines. When wire meets tree, the results can be spectacular.
You could see it was burning very gradually over many years.
McElroy holds up a charred branch from a tree that got too big for its britches. I've seen where this can lead. Twice, the big tree in front of my house caused the power line to snap. A live wire danced on my front lawn for many uncomfortable minutes, spewing sparks like a fire hose. The thing was so hot, it turned soil into glass. That's why Pepco and other power companies are so passionate about trimming trees often and taking down those that get out of hand. Spokesman Clay Anderson.
We do not look at the tree as something that is we're trying to harm. Safety is a prime concern.
There was a time when I would have rolled my eyes at that statement. Back in 2005, Pepco crews planned to give my neighborhood trees a crew cut without even telling the residents. I saw the utility people as brutes who just wanted to save themselves the trouble of dealing with downed trees after storms. My neighbors and I got the utility to X-ray some trees. Many turned out to be healthy and were spared. But as trees continue to die, it's clear we need a long-term solution to the collision between trees and power lines. Some arborists say there is an answer.
Planting the proper tree in this space, like for instance the amber maple that we installed in front of your house.
Earl Utzler is an arborist for the City of Washington. He helped pick some replacement trees after the battle on Barnaby Street. Proper tree, proper place is the motto for the city's plan to replace tall trees under power lines with species that are more cooperative.
Here's a good example of these are purple leaf plums that were planted along where elms have been removed.
Earl Utzler takes me for a drive in his little natural gas-powered car down a Washington street. He points to a strip of perfectly respectable trees that will never cause any problems for the power company.
They're starting to establish themselves. You know, these here that are already, say, 15 feet are going to get another 10 feet tall, and that's going to be it.
They're not really providing shade in the sense that, you know, you can go out and sit with your neighbors on the street under a tree like that. It's just not the same experience.
You're entirely right. It is different, but it's more manageable. It's less dangerous.
City foresters encourage residents who want tall trees to plant them closer to houses and away from the power lines. But small city lots mean you may have to plant uncomfortably close to home. Many cities are moving in the direction of shorter trees under power lines. Phoenix, for example, recently inventoried 17,000 trees. 12,000 were found to be problem species threatening the electric grid. They will be gradually replaced with the right tree in the right space. Back on Barnaby Street, arborist Keith Pitchford says new communities can learn from all of this. They can plan ahead and avoid these conflicts. But it's a lot harder for older, established neighborhoods like mine.
And everyone wants to put the power lines underground or something, but, you know, if they buried them underground, they'd be cutting all the roots of the trees we're trying to preserve because they'd want to put them under the sidewalk. Ultimately, we're going to have to live with smaller canopied trees under the power lines and bigger trees on the other side of the road.
Pitchford says he wishes it weren't so. Me, I can't help myself. Sometimes I go up to the puny amber maple, which the city planted in place of a huge oak, and I whisper to that tree, "Think big." Larry Abramson, NPR News.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color